light sport aircraft are featured at the first major U.S. event of 2011. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Bob Wood, who is the chairman of the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo. It's coming up January 20th through the 23rd at Sebring, Florida. Bob, welcome in. I guess it's fair to say now this is becoming a heritage show. It's been around a few years now.
Yeah, this will be number 7, as I understand the counting.
Well, tell us how long you've been involved in the Expo as the chairman, and tell us what changes you've seen over the past few years.
Well, we started in summer of 2003, the airport manager and myself, to develop an event for our airport. The specific focus was economic development at the airport, economic development in the county. And so we started looking around for opportunities to have an event. And we went to Oshkosh, talked to Tom Poveresny, who said, basically, if you guys will do a light sport event, because light sport is the coming thing, the rule will be approved in a short time. If you'll do a light sport event, we'll support you. So we came home, took that into account, and decided we'd do a light sport event, which we did the first time in the fall of 2004, in late October.
Okay, now, at that time, the light sport rule came to be, and sport pilot came to be in 2005. So you guys were a little ahead of the curve. It's fortunate you had that advice, because you've grown to be, I mean, if economic development was the issue, politically, Sebring has to be thrilled with how this has gone.
Well, I think they are. We see some traction here at our airport with a light sport community. And that was specifically the reason we founded it and the reason we continue to do it. We're not, you know, recreational aviation, for those of us who organize the event and volunteer to run the event, recreational aviation is important, but the most important thing was economic development here in our county, because we need it. And this we saw as a strong way to get into a new market.
All right. Did you have any idea back in late 2004 that within a couple of years after the rule was established, there would be over 100 models of light sport aircraft on sale in the U.S. marketplace?
No, I don't think anyone knew that. And I think everyone keeps saying, oh, this market's going to shake out. Everybody's going to lose out here except for 4 or 5 or 10. But they've said this since the beginning. And a few do fall out, and a few new manufacturers keep coming in. I kind of look at it and look at the stability of the number of manufacturers, and I'm amazed, frankly. Now, I realize that quite a few of these companies are small businesses, 5 people or less. They don't require a huge volume of sales and maintenance to maintain an operating business. It isn't like they've got to support a workforce of 1,000. And so they can hang on through some pretty tough times, and frankly, some of them have and some of them are. On the other hand, since they are small businesses, they can succeed in that kind of an environment. I think, you know, that probably explains why a lot of them are hanging in there. And they're dedicated people who are dedicated to their airplane. Whether it be a high wing, a low wing, a composite, whatever it is, they're convinced that their plane is the answer that's being called for in this market.
There also seem to be a number of companies that have aircraft for sale in the U.S. as light sport aircraft that are called something else and selling in some numbers elsewhere in the world.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And that was where they came from the first couple of years. They were all manufactured, and many of them continue to be manufactured in Germany, in the Czech Republic, in Italy, Spain, and places like that. Ukraine now, Russian company approached us with an exhibit. They have decided not to come because they can't get their plane ready. But we see them continuing to emerge over there also. But we also see a lot of pure American aircraft. And, you know, of course, the Brazilians have entered this market fairly strongly with Paradise and a number of others.
We'll be back for more with Bob Wood of the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the ANN Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Bob Wood, chairman of the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo, coming up next month in Sebring, Florida. Talk a little bit about what it's like to come to an event in Sebring. Among the factors that make this kind of a neat event, obviously it's the first major thing on most people's calendars for the year. But also you've got decent weather, cabin fever, you've got a few things working for you. And if I've noticed over the past, couple of years that your show seems to have done better than some of the more general aviation shows that weren't as focused, even before the economy showed signs of coming back around.
Well, you know, there was a great interest in light sport and sport pilot from day one. There was interest in among the older pilot community about being able to continue to fly. And there was interest among the younger guys of here I can get a license for half the price of a private ticket. And I can learn to fly and continue to fly. And if I really like it and I want to go to a four place or bigger, faster, whatever, I can go ahead and apply that training and get my private ticket. So there was a lot of interest in this segment of the market when it first came into being. Of course, EAA, AOPA, and the others have been working for a number of years. There have been a lot of articles written about light sport as compared to ultralight and what it would mean and so on. And so that first year, we had people who were focused on light sport when they came in the gate. It took an education for a few years to get people to really understand what it is and what it is not. And, of course, that focus on light sport has been our focus from day one. We also have ultralight exhibitors, and we encourage them to come. But with a focus on light sport and sport pilot and with EAA's support over the years and forums on those subjects, it helped develop, I think, the market that's out there. And we're pleased about that. Now, we see it growing. Although I'll admit this year, our total number of aircraft exhibitors is off a bit. With a number of companies making late decisions, a number of companies obviously agonizing over whether or not they could spend the money to come here or whether they should not. And so we've seen a bit of a drop-off in the total number of aircraft exhibitors. We have not seen such a drop-off at all in associated items. Engines and propellers and avionics and radios and all of those things that go with the industry.
Let me interrupt you there for just a second, because if you talk about engines, I've been to the show a few times now, and one of the things I've marveled at is that it seems to be a very good place, or engine manufacturers or engine developers think of it as a good place to debut engines. Why is that? Because if you buy a light sport aircraft, if you buy an SLSA, the engine isn't an option. It suggests to me that there's somewhat of a business-to-business aspect of the show as well.
That's what we featured it as from the outset. This is a place where a business can come to get to develop business opportunities in this market. I didn't say that very well. But this is a place where an aircraft manufacturer, a new one, can come and compare what is available for power plants for his aircraft. We've had, a perfect example not involving engines is a company called XCOM Avionics out of Australia. They came the first year, they sold their panel device to three manufacturers or four. And so they've been manufacturing and shipping this device to a number of manufacturers ever since the fall of 2004. We saw it as an opportunity for people to come here who wanted to get in this business and wanted to be dealers for aircraft. And they could identify a supplier, U.S. or otherwise, and become the Southeast regional dealer or the U.S. distributor or whatever it might be for a given aircraft. So it's an expo, not an air show.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I know a little bit about XCOM. I followed that company and talked with Michael Coates a bit about it. And that is an interesting story. And that product ended up on a contract now to be manufactured in the United States and in part because of the exposure it got to the U.S. market.
Yes, and of course he is also the guy behind Pipistrel, the motor glider.
And Pipistrel will have a display at the show in January. Tomorrow, I'll wrap up this conversation with Bob Wood, chairman of the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in Florida, which is coming up January 20th through the 23rd in Sebring. Find out more about the show on the web at sport-aviation-expo.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.